The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. As we look forward to a reading from John 15, where Jesus says, love one another, we sing with the joy of Easter. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, and that gospel reading in John chapter 15. Pastor Sean Denzer joins us. He's director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Sean, welcome back.
Great to be back, Todd.
We will discuss the gospel reading at length in a few minutes, but we are still in John 15. Where does Jesus pick up after I am the true vine?
I think it's a good question because really this is all part of one speech. Of course, it's part of the long speech that Jesus gives on the night he's betrayed, kind of as we're shifting scenes from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. It ends in the big high priestly prayer in John 17. But what we're going to hear today really is a continuation of what we had last week. In some ways, it's kind of strange to separate it. So in Vine and Branches, Jesus is trying to make it very clear that we need to be connected to him, and then that we find our source of life and of love in him that flows out in us as well, that we will bear much fruit. We're really going to continue that and maybe focus even more than we did last week already on faith and love arising out of Christ's sacrificial love. Here, the focus is going to be quite tender, that Jesus calls us friends, that the Father calls us children, and the implication is that we also then will address our fellow Christians as such, as well as brothers and as friends of us. So we see that just as the Son proceeds from the Father, and the Father's love is the Son's way of acting, just as the Father loves the Son, so the Son is active in love by laying down his life as the atoning sacrifice for the world. We also are going to lay down our lives as living sacrifices, as Paul puts it, for the sake of our neighbors. And we're going to see coming out of that then, looking at the other readings especially, that the extent of our friends and our neighbors in Christ Jesus is well beyond just any kind of Jewish confines. We're going to see that the Gentiles coming into this promise is going to feature prominently, especially in our first reading from Acts.
So what are our connecting themes?
We'll see the nations, the Jews and the Gentiles, being brought together in Christ Jesus in a couple of the other readings as well. We'll see this theme of faith and love building on what we said last week, continuing here, that what the Lord has done for us in Christ, that our trust in him leads us also into a whole way of life, loving our neighbors as well, just as we have received great love from the Father through Christ himself. But also, I think you'll see a little bit of cantate and maybe the Sunday before Ascension in the old lectionary coming through in a number of references to singing his praise, and particularly inviting those Gentiles to join us in that praise as we look at the Psalms.
We begin with the introit, which would be that voice of singing in Psalm 66.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. So a voice of singing, the traditional Rogate introit, is here as well, and declaring what the Lord has done. And we have there in particular a summoning of the Gentiles to join in the song. Let the sound of his praise be heard and bless our God, O you peoples. We're addressing them here in this psalm. It's timely as we look ahead to our first reading, which is going to be the aftermath of Cornelius calling out to God and the message that comes to him at the same time that Peter receives a miraculous message from God in a vision that he should not call what God has made clean unclean. This prompts him to go to Cornelius, and Cornelius in Acts has just given his great speech relating all of the things that happened to him, as well as his desire to hear from Peter the message of the gospel from the apostles. And we're going to come in right on the heels of that with just kind of Peter's response. It's a bit of a shame that we don't get to hear Cornelius speak, but it's assumed here in this introit that he's kind of the one maybe who would be singing this, right? Come, I'll tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. Blessed be God. He's not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. That's a perfect introduction to what Peter's going to say, that now I understand and perceive that God shows no partiality, but receives all those. Think back to his Pentecost speech, right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, this is in keeping with that sermon that he delivered, according to his office, very well on Pentecost.
The Collect, how does it read?
O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is very simple. This collect is originally paired with James, who says, don't just be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. And it fits very well with our epistle and with our gospel today that are concerned with keeping the Lord's commandments and his commandment chiefly to love one another. This is the counterpart to love. Love is what is good. Love is what the Lord gives. And so we want to pair that. So let us think the things that are right. Certainly that's faith by his inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but also by his guiding, merciful guiding notice that we would accomplish the same. We're going to hear in our epistle that his commandments are not burdensome. We're also going to see that the way John writes, it really does mingle faith and love quite a bit, not to deny the doctrine of justification by faith alone, but rather to show that the whole life in Christ is affected. And so really you have that kind of parsed out very neatly here in this collect in traditional Western Christian fashion, right? That we may think and believe what is right by his inspiration and also by that same Holy Spirit's work and by his merciful guiding. Notice he is not a taskmaster or a slave master. He's not, in fact, making us work for our salvation, but we belong to his household. We are his children and his friends. He's included us in all that he has for us and then brings us into the way of righteousness, the way of love for our neighbors, by his Spirit's inspiration.
Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. He's leading us through the propers of this coming Sunday according to the 3-year lectionary. We'll get to the first reading in Acts 10 next.
You know, when you see a cross, how can you not think of Christ? When you see a symbol, how can you not think of eternity? When you see a triangle, how can you not think of the Holy Trinity?
Edward Riojas, author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Each of these things, they just underscore not just scripture, also the events of Christ's life, what we believe.
Learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
If you have ever wondered what a certain Christian symbol means, or where it came from, or how it is properly used, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is the book for you, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols, beautifully illustrated and encyclopedic in its content. You can find out more about Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. We are looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. The first reading for this coming Sunday, Sean, is Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48.
Yes, again, so Peter has arrived at Cornelius's house. He's heard Cornelius's explanation of how he was told by an angel that he should ask for Simon and call for him. And he kind of said, I'm ready to hear from you now, Simon. I'm glad you're here. Tell us, we're all waiting to hear what the apostle has to say. Peter opens his mouth then and says, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, here it is, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Okay, again, responding to Cornelius, who has faith in the Lord, who is a God-fearer, but is looking for this word from the apostles. And Peter says it. He says that in every nation he recognizes now, God shows no partiality. It's not about the Jews only. In fact, it never was. But now it is clear and open and manifest to everybody because Christ Jesus is risen from the dead, because now the message is to go out, beginning at Jerusalem, but out to all nations, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is part of this, that Peter also must recognize and therefore realize that the Gentiles are in the Lord's plan as well, that he wants to give his Holy Spirit to them so that they believe and follow his ways. He puts it this way, that in every nation, those who fear God and who do what is right are acceptable to him. This is fear, we should understand to mean all of it, repentance, faith, the worship of God, that these are those believers in short, but also then those who do what is right, which leads us to the theme that we'll see expanded in the epistle and in the gospel of faith and love that proceeds out of the trust in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that are given to us in his name. Peter says the word was sent to Israel in Jesus, and this is great, that it starts with him. As Paul writes, it is a salvation that is first for the Jew, but then, without really much delay, then also for the Gentile. And we see that the Jews are not excluded from this salvation, at least they aren't to be. In fact, that's the point of having the 12 apostles, that they're to be the witnesses, that it is supposed to begin in Jerusalem, that the oracles, as Paul writes, the oracles have always come to the children of Israel, but these oracles are not to be kept for themselves, nor are they, of course, to be neglected in Israel. And the apostles really are the token of that, you might say, that they believe in Christ, that they continue to preach, and that it is through them, through a small and even, you might say, exclusive number of witnesses, the Lord wishes to make his salvation and his resurrection and his grace and forgiveness known to all the world now. So this peace is not only for Jerusalem, it is for all. Peter slips in that wonderful little phrase, right? He is Lord of all, not just Yahweh, the particular God of the people of Israel, but he is the Lord, as we say it still to this day. He is the King of the entire world. Interesting description of Jesus. He kind of recounts it from the beginning, similar to what we saw at the beginning of Acts for the requirement of Matthias, those who are going to be chosen to fill Judas's place. John's baptism is an important preparation for Jesus' ministry. So he kind of gives us the short version here, but says, you guys know this, how from John's baptism on, Jesus was preaching, he was doing good works, he was healing others. It culminates, of course, in his death and his resurrection. But the way that Peter highlights it here is how the Spirit of God has come to cast out demons, to heal those who are sick, to oppose Satan in everything. I think this is probably very similar to what we have in our baptismal rites to this day, where we have, traditionally, there is an exorcism associated with it, that we are to understand that the Holy Spirit is casting out all of the other unclean spirits and bringing in his holiness, bringing in the Lord and his faith in the Lord and his salvation to us. So especially appropriate then for a Gentile, in case there's any doubt that he also is to be clean. Whatever unclean spirits and corrupt nature of sin dwells in Cornelius, it too will be cast out by the Holy Spirit. This is kind of foreshadowing of what's to come at the end of the story. So the death and the resurrection are spoken of. It's confirmed before his chosen apostles, his eyewitnesses. And now the message of Peter's Pentecost sermon continues. And I love the little twist he puts on it here. Everyone, not everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, or like Joel says, everyone who calls on his name. But a beautiful thing, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And as we see, baptism is not withheld from these people. This is absolutely parallel and synonymous with holy baptism, that when the name of Jesus is believed, when the word of God comes and faith falls, the Holy Spirit working faith in us falls on these people, or when holy baptism is administered, all of these are delivering the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And remember the way that Luke's gospel ended, that what does it mean that the scriptures have foretold this? What does it mean that Christ has suffered and died and risen again? It means that repentance for the forgiveness of sins is to be preached in my name to all people. So here we see that coming to fruition in Peter's preaching. We have this expression that the Spirit falls on them, and it's even while he's speaking, not just by coincidence. It is through the word of God, through the Holy Scriptures and the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, that the Holy Spirit is given to us. So he falls on them here also with the gift of miraculous tongues to testify to that. And notice again that these tongues, like on Pentecost, are not mysterious and confusing speech, but they are understood. In fact, they can even say they are extolling God with this speech. So then, just as with the Ethiopian eunuch a few weeks ago, or last week rather, baptism cannot be withheld. There's nothing to prevent, no extra steps to be followed before Cornelius can be counted and numbered among the Christians, recognized by all, and given the gifts that come in holy baptism. The word of God does it, right? Faith comes in the word of God, however it comes, and there is no distinction now between Jew and Gentile in that way. Maybe just one brief last comment. Some have been a little troubled that it says they were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as if this should be understood in distinction to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I would say definitely not. This is the very name that Jesus has given, the name of the Trinity. And to have Jesus Christ means to receive the entire Trinity working. We see that the Spirit has fallen them. The Father was not absent from the preaching that Peter gave. We know that Cornelius certainly believed in the Lord. He's a God-fearer, but what is different is to hear the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus Christ in particular. That's why we say we are baptized into Christ, even though, of course, the name of the Holy Trinity is spoken over us. These are the words that are used, but it is Christ in particular whose salvation has brought us into the intimate circle of the Holy Trinity. I think we'll see that as we go on in our other readings, how to be a friend of Christ Jesus, to be called his brother, means then to be the children of God, as all the baptized are.
We will get into the appointed psalm for this coming Sunday, according to the three-year lectionary, with Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, next.
The church has a proclivity to follow after trends and fads and be led away by things that are super popular in the moment and only fall away from it.
Pastor Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But Scripture tells us that good, sound Christian ministry is to mature us in Christ so that we will not be children who are tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and human cunning. So in my presentation, we'll be talking about the tendency to go towards fads, but the solution is being found in Scripture and what it is that we're really to be focused on in order to build up our faith and to sustain the church into the future.
You can meet and hear Pastor Chris Roseborough making the case against the fad-driven church at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. For more information, go to issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is the Bible enough? This is Ken Ham, author of the eye-opening book, Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos and a Conflicted Church. There's a biblical doctrine that comes under attack a lot lately, and that's a doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. In other words, is Scripture enough? The Bible teaches that it is sufficient, that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. But many Christians don't believe the Bible is enough, and they look for experiences to give them what they think they're lacking. But the emotional effect of those experiences only lasts so long, so they need another and another, bigger and better experience to know God is near and He loves them. But by God's Spirit, the Bible is enough. God's Word, it's sufficient.
Discover more about the sufficiency, authority, and reliability of the Bible at AnswersRadio.com. Go to AnswersRadio.com.
Stanza 10 of Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. We are looking forward to the sixth Sunday of Easter and the gospel reading in John 15 with Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Sean, the appointed psalm is Psalm 98.
Sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He's remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and sound of horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy before the Lord. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So this is the song which is eternally new. We are always to understand this particularly because it is new in Christ Jesus. It is new every morning, as Lamentations says. Jesus is the salvation, the one who saves. He's the right hand of the Lord and His holy arm. And notice, His salvation is revealed also in the sight of all people, the nations, that is, the Gentiles. It's a salvation according to the Scriptures that's given to His Israel, that is, to the Jews, but it does not stay there. It goes out to all. In fact, the psalm then expands kind of as you go on to show that all the world, including all of creation, rivers and seas and inanimate things, we might say, now are inspired also to sing to the Lord and to await His judgment. I think that's a fine nod to what Paul will clarify when he says that all creation is groaning in eager anticipation of the redemption that is to come in Christ. So we have a foretaste of that. We know that it has been accomplished by Jesus, but we are waiting for the last day when it will be revealed openly to all, and we will have by sight what is now ours by faith and is only beginning in the love that we show to one another.
Our epistle is 1 John 5, 1-8.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. So, as I mentioned with the collect, John is not nearly as concerned with neat, tidy, orderly categories as we are. He's certainly not all that concerned about going in chronological, clear order. And maybe that's troublesome to us, especially if we consider the important distinctions that were made in the Reformation, namely that in the matter of justification before God, it is faith alone, that is the work of Christ alone and what he has done, received by faith, that actually saves us. Works have no part in meriting our salvation. John is definitely mixing them all together, not to mingle works into our salvation, but to show how interweaved and connected and close faith and works are to be held. This is a great advantage if you are looking to see Christianity as a coherent way of life rather than just a disjunct set of propositions to kind of be assented to. And so I think you won't find him contradicting that, but I think you will have him keeping them together and showing us the great strength we have for action, for love towards the neighbor, which is his focus here as well. So faith apprehends Jesus to be the Christ, right? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, you are one who is born of God. We've seen that with Cornelius and his family already today, that they believe, they trust the word, the Holy Spirit is bringing them to faith, and holy baptism, of course, makes that quite public, how we are children of God, given his name, just as anybody would be if you were the child. We're born of the Father. We live then as those in his family, and the way of this God is love. We live in his love. And our love is not just for our Father, not just for Christ, but also then for all of those children of God, as John calls them, those who are brought into his kingdom. He says here that we obey his commandments, and these commandments are not burdensome. I think maybe that's a struggling phrase for us, especially if we think about our sins. Those who have maybe forgotten what John said earlier, that if we have any sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Also how he said, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. But we know that we look at ourselves, and when we examine ourselves according to God's commandments, we often find deficiencies. We find that we are sinners still, even though we've received his Holy Spirit. I think the way that John is laying this out is trying to show us what should give us energy and sustenance again when we find ourselves burdened, when we find ourselves weighed down under the thoughts and recognition of sin, is we should be encouraged to see that our Lord has overcome all of these things. That the chains that would grab us and pull us down are things that have been defeated and destroyed by Jesus. They no longer have that kind of ultimate power over us. So let us make sure that we do not, out of fear, kind of give up too early. We should have great hope for the fact that Christ has overcome the world. The promise is that if he has overcome the world, that we also will overcome in him. This is why it said the victory that has overcome the world is, notice, not our love. It's not our trying harder, but it is our faith. It is that which receives his entire love, his entire work of salvation for us, from which then the love, the fruit, like we talked about last week, grows and lives. What is the sense of this overcome? Well, we overcome it in this sense, that we triumph even though we die, that through his resurrection, we also will be raised. And there's a second sense that I think is helpful, especially given the rest that we've heard this today, that the conquering of God is through faith, that he brings those who are dead to life again, that he brings those who are lost into his family, into be deep and close to him, to be his own children. And then this is also how he conquers the Gentiles. We often hear in the Psalms and in other parts of the Old Testament how the nations will be conquered. They'll be submitting themselves to the Lord and to his people. Sometimes there's even much violent language, which is unsettling to us. But we should see, and we just did with Cornelius, how the Lord conquers. All of these prophecies come to fruition, not through warfare against flesh and blood, that we would subject kings to our swords, but that the nations are overcome through the spread of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit in that gospel to increase faith, to bring about his praise in all corners of the world where, yes, there were only Gentiles and heathen formerly, but now, by his word, there is the overcoming of Christ Jesus. The last part is very interesting. John mentions the water and the blood. This is the means by which Jesus comes. And the reference here seems to be his propitiatory death. We know that John's gospel tells us when the spear was plunged into Christ, the water and the blood came out, and he jumps out of character almost at that point and narrates the story and says, "He who testifies to this was there. He's an eyewitness. He knows that this is true." So even in John's gospel, he's drawing attention to this water and blood that flows out of his side. Here now he picks that up again and says, this is a testimony from God about Christ's death, that it is a propitiation, as he says earlier. We might also recognize that water and blood are kind of key components of the sacraments as they're given to us. Holy baptism with water, not this only, but also with the body and the blood that's given in the Blessed Sacrament. And together with this, not to be forgotten, not as an afterthought, but really as kind of the fundamental binding character, is the Holy Spirit. What does the Spirit have to do with any of this? Well, the Spirit is at work in the Scriptures. He's at work in the Word of God. He's at work in the proclamation of the gospel. And as we saw with Cornelius, he is at work to give faith. He is at work to inspire the fear of God, the love of his name, the trust in him, that which overcomes the world. All of this then is held together, and I think we can see that the word and the sacrament are joined, just as the word of God and the actual atonement must be joined as well. So our Lord does not just kind of declare things by fiat out of heaven. He just thinks us righteous, but he actually has accomplished it by the water and the blood, by this propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus. Our message then, the gospel, that which Peter is proclaiming to Cornelius that causes the Holy Spirit to be present and fall on them, that message is not without backing. The backing is the very blood of Christ, the atonement of Christ that makes this true and makes it the case. Maybe just a moment we should talk about kind of the verses that aren't here, and that's the famous Johannine comma. There was something that was put into the text at some point. The scholars seem to think it's not part of the original, but it makes an explicit reference to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is interesting because the only place where that happens in the rest of the Scriptures is Matthew 28, the institution of holy baptism. It seems likely that it was added at a later time, but I think it's easy to see why it might have been. One, you've got a cluster of three making a testimony, but also we see all three persons of the Trinity very much present in this passage, that Jesus is the Christ, he's been born of God, All those who are in Christ and believe in him are also sons of God, just as Jesus is. They love the Father, they're born of him, and we've seen the Spirit testifying in all of this. So it makes sense that it might be brought up here, even though it's not part of our scripture passages that we read. It draws our attention to the unity that Father, Son, and Spirit have as one God.
Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. We'll get into the gradual and the gospel next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in 1 Peter with Honor Christ is Holy, Baptism Now Saves You, Suffering in the Flesh, Love Covers a Multitude of Sins, and The Fiery Trial. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
At the heart of Lutherans for Life is good news that brings hope to a culture so focused on death. Lutherans for Life equips Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutherans for Life believes God gives the gift of life to all people, from the moment of conception until natural death. Learn more about how you and your congregation can help bring hope and healing to life issues at LutheransForLife.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christians face a culture that is hostile to Christianity. How does the gospel shape our understanding of what it is to be human, of marriage and family, of Christian vocation, of how we confess Christ? Christ and Culture, Catechesis on the Apostles' Creed is the theme for this year's symposium of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, June 19th through the 21st, at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Register today at peacesussex.org/CCA.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. Sean, take us into the gradual and then the gospel in John 15.
Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He's given him dominion over the works of his hands and put all things under his feet. You can hear a little bit of the Father's love with the Son there, crowning him with honor for his job well done. And also that he has overcome the world, he has the dominion now. Our Alleluia verse, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. He's overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Alleluia. That last phrase isn't in today's gospel, but it does echo very well what we heard in the epistle a moment ago, that he has overcome the world. Take heart. Don't be afraid when you face tribulation, because I've overcome it. And certainly it's part of this, again, whole section from John's gospel of what Jesus is saying on the night he's betrayed. So it shouldn't be ever far from our mind when we go on to our gospel reading from John 15.
Take us into that, John 15, beginning at verse 9.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my name. If you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." We have this great progression, right? The Father to the Son, and the Son to us, and us to others. This is why John calls it all kind of under the category of love, that the Lord's great love has caused him to reach out with his Son to love the world, right? That we should not perish but have eternal life, that we then are brought into his family. That certainly is the language being used here on purpose, that we are close to him, and therefore that we also will bear fruit that abides. The way he says this to his apostles, just think of what we heard in the first reading, how Peter is proclaiming Christ Jesus and his love, how he has been a chosen apostle in order to bear fruit that endures forever, that is, the fruit of giving the gospel to Cornelius, of having him believe in Christ, having him be saved and be joined together with the Father, the Son, and with his whole church. Jesus abides in the love of his Father. How does he do that? He keeps the commandments of God. He comes and fulfills the mission for which he was sent to redeem us. We also then are to do the same, and Jesus says this is joy. This is another similar passage to what St. Paul says, that the fulfilling of the law really is to love. Therefore, we see that the life of the one who has loved us is lived by us loving others as well. Joy comes from abiding in the Father's way of life. I think that is very apparent, in fact, even when it's lacking in us, we know that joy is lacking also as a result. It is a joyful and a delightful life to be part of the Christian church, to be in a community that loves one another, that has received the greatest love of all in Christ Jesus, and then also turns to one another in kindness, in compassion, in duty, in loyalty, all of the things that are in short supply in our world that is turning away from Christ. This is the Son's way of life, and everyone is invited to join into it. It's a life that's not lived to get as much as you can for yourself, and therefore with people tearing each other apart, but it's a life that's lived in service to one another, outside of ourselves, just as we see the Son reaching out from the deep heart of the Trinity, as it were, in order to embrace this world. Jesus adds a new term, the term friend, and that may be a really trite term, kind of in the way we use it. Think about the friends you have on online social media, and anybody can be your friend, including the people you don't want to be your friend. The Lord contrasts friend with servant. He does the same thing elsewhere in John's gospel when he contrasts son with servant, and then he explains himself a little bit here. A friend is more than just somebody in a chain of command. But a friend is somebody who is trusted and who is invited to trust his mutual friend. That's why the friends are included in the Father's plans. Jesus shares all things with them, and they're invited to come to him with anything they need. This is a very dear and intimate matter, then, that we are part of the family, that we are close friends with the very counsel of the Holy Trinity, particularly when it comes to loving one another and to sharing this fruit of the gospel with others. All right, we have an oft-quoted phrase, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I think it's usually quoted around Memorial Day, which we're not too far off from that. Speaking about those who would sell their lives dearly for the sake of their country, for the sake of their kinsmen, I think it's important to see that's not what Jesus is talking about here. There's a way in which, as Paul says, I suppose for a righteous man, someone might be willing to die, but God shows his great love for this in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here, we're speaking about Jesus again. He's the one who lays down his life for the sins of the world. He's the one who lays down his life, especially for those who believe, to borrow from the way Paul speaks to Timothy, to bring many into this deep and abiding friendship. So, if anything, this is a small analogy about us and everyday ordinary people, but the point is to say Christ Jesus is far beyond this. He lays down his life for intimately for his apostles, for his friends, for us, but he has done it, in fact, as Paul notes, for the whole world, and he has justified the ungodly to bring them into this deep and intimate and abiding fellowship. So in so doing, as Jesus now expands, he has chosen us. Remember, we're right on the heels of the vine and the branches. He has made us his friends. He has brought us into this connection of being branches grafted into him. He has appointed us then to bear fruit, fruit that grows out of his love, grows out of his power, as we heard last week. And I guess with all of this talk today about the love of God, maybe we should be reminded, if you're anything like me, you're a little hesitant to use the word love because it's washed out. It's become part of political slogans. It's been used to support things that are ungodly. And, I mean, we love everything, as I think I said last week too, from pizza to sports teams, as well as those that we actually care about in this world. And sometimes we even love things that are wicked and evil. So what place does love have anymore in our vocabulary if it's been so reduced to nothing, reduced almost to meaninglessness? Well, the scriptures have used this word. All of John's gospel and his epistles, but also St. Peter and St. Paul have all spoken with this language. And it's often the word that we use to translate the steadfast love, the mercy that God has, his compassion, which causes him to act for our salvation. So I don't know if we can win all of the battles of words, but the language of love, I think, is always going to be helpful and important to us as Christians, to see it not simply as good works, as good behavior, as commandments that are perhaps very burdensome, but to see it as the outgrowth of what the Lord has done for us, faith that grows into the fruit of love, or the Lord's love, which then spurs us on to love those whom he has also loved in this world, which is not only those close to us in the church, but also those outside the church, all nations. There is no one who is exempted from his love because he is Lord of all, as Peter said.
What would you say briefly about Dear Christians, One and All, the hymn of the day?
Yeah, that's the hymn of the day traditionally for Cantate Sunday. No surprise, because we're singing about praising to one another. Luther's kind of ballad style with this hymn urges us to talk to one another and rehearse the story. And I think that's very fitting with what we've seen. The Lord has called us friends. We have this beautiful exchange between the Father and the Son, kind of an imagined conversation that Luther has here. I'm ready to save everyone. It's time for you to go. You can see that in John 3:16. You can see that in what Jesus says, that the Father loves me because I have followed in his commandments in order to save you. And so we also then are joined to him. And especially as we look forward to the ascension later this week, it is great to have Luther connecting the ascension words of Jesus to everything that he has done for us before it, so that we would live in this and not lose heart, but recognize, as our Alleluia verse says, he has overcome the world. We can take heart in all tribulation, and we're not alone in this. We're gathered together with the rest of his church, all those who have received his Spirit and are beloved friends of Christ Jesus.
Pastor Sean Denzer is Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Sean, thank you.
You're welcome.
Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part today by Luther Academy. Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth by providing theological conferences for pastors in West Africa, Europe, Uganda, India, Indonesia, Hong Kong, Madagascar, Europe, and South America. Learn how you can help Lutheran pastors attend these conferences at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Stephen Parks about Roman Catholicism and the oral word of God, and we'll discuss the Filioque, the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son, with our guest, Dr. Aaron Moldenhauer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Has redeemed his people.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.